I think we're ready. Would you bow your heads, please? Say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit.
I need ears to hear.
I need eyes to see
what your Spirit has prepared for me. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to take you to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. It's all about Jesus. And I kept asking the Lord this morning, what is it that he wanted? And of course he said Luke 2, so obviously that's where I went. And it's verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. Now, for those of you who may not understand, it's approximately 80 miles to travel. Try going 80 miles on foot or riding on a donkey and you're 9 months pregnant. Those of you who have been there, ladies, you would have an awareness of what was happening. I think sometimes we think of Mary from the point of view that she had it easy. And I think it needs to have a little bit of a tweaking today. She did not have it easy. So Joseph, verse 4, also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David. Who can tell me the name of the city and what it means, or the town? House of Bread. So, where did they go? They went to Judea, to Bethlehem, the house of bread, the town of David. Because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Was that part of God's plan? Yeah. Now you'd say, why is he always allowing me to go through some kind of hell? Anybody relate to that one? Why does God always allow us to go through some kind of hell?
So we will always need him and call on him.
So we'll always need him and call on him. Come on, Liv.
So we can learn.
So we can learn. Anyone else?
Strengthen our faith.
Strengthen our faith.
To refine us.
Kawhi?
Refine us.
To refine us. What else?
Awaken us.
To awaken us, okay. Pete?
Keep us in a place of continuous trust.
Enabling us, yes?
I think it can be as an encouragement, too. In the sense that when you're going through it, as hard as it might be, if you're continually in prayer about it,
yep,
he's going to show you what needs to be done step by step by step.
Amen.
When you're
Amen.
Through with it. It's been an encouragement. You can encourage others with mm-hmm. that.
You can encourage others. It's not just for yourself.
Yep. Right.
So there's a purpose in every single test. And Mary and Joseph are an example for us that it was not easy. He was definitely planning a divorce for this girl. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, let's face it. The law at that time says she should have been stoned along with the guy who was guilty. But God used something different to wake him up. Amen? Now, verse 8 is probably something that you have maybe read and understood. But I would like to kind of give it a little bit of a different twist. Because the Lord was showing me that these are shepherds. That's my name. In French, berger is shepherd. B-E-R-G-E-R is my name. And in French, it shepherd. O-N means small shepherd. I'm a little bit taller, maybe, but I still fit. But to be honest with you, I didn't understand that for years. Okay? In French, there's a song that's, you know, it's called Sa berger, assemblons-nous. Allons voir le Messie. And it's, come all ye shepherds and go see the Messiah. In the places that God has ordained for me to walk, I did not see myself for years as a shepherd. I would have ran away from the job if I had been given any kind of a clue about what he was doing with me. Yesterday, I met a gentleman who happens to be a manager of a store, and his brother just was laid to rest. And he lives in the same town as I do. And I happened to share with him that I was a furniture dealer for 20 years, and, you know, that was God's plan. Well, it was really God's preparation. I look at it as God's plan, but it was really his preparation for me to deal with all kinds of yo-yos.
Amen.
And do you qualify? Yes. Sometimes we, as sheep, qualify for yo-yo some.
Amen.
That's a new word. Okay? Because we're not acting like the Lord wants us to act. We are reacting out of our flesh.
Amen.
But why did the shepherds get chosen to be first? Because they're supposed to be pastors. Yeah, they're supposed to be pastors. Now, some have pastors' hearts, and some are actually called what? Some are real shepherds, but some are what?
Wolves.
Hirelings. They're hired into the space to be a shepherd for a season. But then, by their actions and reactions, you find out they're hirelings because their heart is not fully developed. Maybe they should have been in the furniture business for 20 years. And as I was communicating with Al's brother, he's the manager of a store in West Springfield, and I won't go there. I won't give out information. Except I said, I can relate to you because I said you deal with yo-yos, right? Oh, yes. He says, all the time. And I wanted to say you're in training, but I shut up. I was a good boy. I did shut up. God gave me grace. But you see, I see my training with people as God's coordinates to plan and re-coordinate this shepherd into being able to take care of sheep. And I had to meet the Messiah first. Come on. How many of you were planning on meeting the Messiah when he decided to reveal himself to you? How many knew what he was actually doing when he was drawing you towards himself?
Absolutely.
Put your hand up. If you actually knew, how about if you didn't have a clue? Put your hand up. You didn't have a clue. So look around. Because you see, we think we know. And these shepherds are doing their job. Verse 8, and there were shepherds lying, living out in the field, nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Huh, there you go. There's your beginnings. How many came to the Lord in fear? Yeah, I did. I had my 6'2" standing right behind me. And he was saying, well, Dad, are you going to get to be anointed? And there's my friend Ray in front of me and beating the path to go forward to be anointed. And that was my first time to be anointed with oil in the church. And my legs were, how many know what vibrating knees are? Okay? I lost them on the way up to that altar. I don't know where they went. I just couldn't feel them anymore. But you see, God had a plan, and I was going afraid. Did I see angels on the job? Absolutely nothing. All I saw was my buddy walking down that aisle, and I wanted to run the other direction because my soul was saying, what is all this about? On a Wednesday night, everybody's singing and praising God, and we can't get one Catholic voice in the whole church that I've been a part of for almost 20 years, and not one will open his mouth or her mouth.
Amen.
All right? And that's the truth.
I know.
Because at that time, they were trying to change the church. How many know without the Holy Ghost, you can't change the church?
Amen.
A lady friend that's gone to be with the Lord, we were the two big mouths of the choir. So we were sent to the front. And we would stand in on each side of the pews, or in the front there, facing the people, trying to get them to open their mouth to sing. And you couldn't do it. The biggest awesome part of that Wednesday night was they were actually singing in a Catholic church. And nobody was leading them. It was only God's Holy Spirit had given them a freedom that I had never seen. That was my first miracle. I was watching something that did not happen in our church. I was watching a love flow coming from a pastor who was a real shepherd, not a hireling. He was dedicated his life to the Lord and serving the Lord and serving the people, anointing them and praying for them and giving them what he had received for free, which was the Holy Ghost. Why was it that way? Because it was God's plan. Angels had commissioned to gather in the Catholics. Can he do it again? Yes. Verse 10. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. It doesn't say for some. It doesn't say for the elect. It says for who? All the people. That's Jews and Gentiles, everybody in the whole earth. Well, what about the ones that live in Spain or in Italy or in France or England or China or any place? I don't care what the title is. God knows how to touch and prepare. He did it with me and he's done it with you. Now, you say, well, what for? For you to go out. For you to pray. Like my sister sitting in that front seat there with the nice red shirt. The Lord allowed her to go to a nursing home. So what did she do? She was the evangelist for the whole season that she was in there. Touching and telling people about the wonderful Savior that she knew. Verse 11. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths or swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Verse 13 is kind of cool. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Is that you and me? His favor is on us because he has chosen us and we are to go out there at the appointed time. You say, well, you know, I haven't been moved yet. That doesn't mean he won't move you. Depends on how heavy your feet are and how stuck in deception you might be. He'll move you when you least expect it. He'll use your mouth when you least expect it. Verse 15. When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Verse 19 is an example to us. Pondered them in her heart. Why? She was smart enough not to tell Joseph. He had enough pressure. He didn't need any more. And if Joseph received a word, he acted on it. He didn't tattle it to the neighborhood. There are times that you need to ponder what you receive in your heart, because God will confirm and reconfirm until you get the clue that He's on the job for you. He is a personal Savior. He's personal to you. He will qualify you for whatever job you have down the road. And you say, well, I'm doing this odd job that I don't like. It just might be some of your training. Well, I gotta work with a yo-yo. Good. It'll teach you how to deal with yo-yos. Come on.
Amen.
And it'll also teach you how to keep your mouth shut.
Amen.
You see, because there are times you need to pray for one another that who will be healed. When I pray for those that are hurting me, what happens to me? I get healed. So there's an ultimate purpose to have yo-yos around. Why? Because they bounce up and down, up and down, up and down. Everything they advertise is the garbage that they're living through. And they're gossiping about you.
Amen.
Ah, I thought you guys were asleep. Why would they gossip about you?
Because they don't like
you. Why?
Because we're the light.
Because of the light. Yes. Okay. Verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Notice it was just as they had been told. The angels were commissioned to give a word that was factual. They checked it out. It bears witness that here it was, true. There was a baby in a manger. They were glorifying the one that was actually the Creator, and they had no clue. Verse 21 is important. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. That's important. The name was given to him when?
Before conception.
Right on. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what it said, or what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now notice again, they weren't very rich. That's also quite important. If they had been extremely wealthy, they would have given a bigger gift, but they weren't. 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Notice it wasn't in him. Gives you a different outlook. This was the old covenant. The Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ, or the Lord's anointed. I think sometimes we so lightly read this that we underestimate the truth of that factor. Why are you and I invested with God's Spirit? And then we don't open up. Because of fear, because of judgment, fear of criticism, fear of fault finding. We shut up and we can only speak in church. I'm asking you to ponder about your obedience.
God, that's so good, Jim. Oh.
We spoke briefly before the service today about timing and getting a word from the Lord and then running in the other direction with our tail between our legs because we're afraid to speak that word because they're not Christians yet. Yes, girl.
You know, it's funny you said that word because that was just going through my mind. Last Saturday, not yesterday, week ago Saturday, I tilted my big puddle underneath my car. My husband said the coolant was empty and he dumped coolant in it, but he didn't find out why. So all I had to do was watch my gauge. So Tuesday, in the middle of a snowstorm, the Lord commissions me to go drop something off to somebody. And I'm in downtown Springfield and I'm watching my gauge climb up to the danger zone. Turn on my heat and I have no heat. And I said, this is not good. So I hear the Lord say, drive up State Street and pull into Spartan and get it fixed in the middle of the snowstorm. Okay. So I pulled in the middle of the snowstorm. They took my car right in, showed me the leak. This coolant was just spitting out of this little teeny piece, you know, in a spray. But in the process, the Lord is having me share with the young man that was fixing my car, and there's another guy out in the waiting room, and he's pacing around, and all of a sudden he starts to open up, and I just open up. What was going through my head, you know, if this leak had been fixed last Saturday, I wouldn't be stuck here in a snowstorm. But I wouldn't have met these two young men and shared. Not that I went into anything deep, but just there was enough that they needed to hear. In fact, the one that was in the waiting room, I could see the wheels turning. He was suddenly seeing his situation in a different light than he had at first. He knew something else was going on.
So seeds were dropped into his heart. Yeah. Seeds of truth, and they will bear fruit.
The Lord wants
Not just yet. Hold on. Okay. We want to finish this message. Okay? Verse 26. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's anointed. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. Verse 33, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And the sword will pierce your own soul too. If you ponder again how Joseph and Mary used this word to give them a little bit of encouragement, but at the same time, it was also showing Mary that she would suffer down the road. Did she understand it?
No.
Not any more than you. There are seasons that we suffer that we don't understand. There was a season where some of us have had testings. And the Lord did not speak to us about when the test would end. He just said, I am with you. Mm-hmm. Well, if he's with us, that means we have to take the courage to go forward and keep putting one foot in front of the other. Mm-hmm. And there are times that these examples at Christmas time, especially with families, especially with those that don't believe the way you do, because they have not had your privilege. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to lift both hands to the Lord. Say, Lord Jesus, you are the sovereign Redeemer. And my family needs you.
And my family needs you.
Everyone in my family needs.
Everyone in my family needs.
The Revelator.
The Revelator.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
The Counselor.
The Counselor.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
The Comforter.
The Comforter.
In the Holy Spirit.
In the Holy Spirit.
There is comfort.
There is comfort.
There is counsel.
There is counsel.
And there is victory.
And there is victory.
Because he took a dead body.
Because he took a dead body.
Of a grown Savior.
Of a grown Savior.
And resurrected him out of the grave.
And resurrected him out of the grave.
That's why that I'm a believer today. If I was to go to Israel, I could visit an empty grave. If I went to some other foreign country,
I could visit some
graves with some dead bodies in there that people still worship because of lack of wisdom.
Lack of revelation.
So let this time of birthing.
So let this time of birthing
come alive in me.
So
that I can give words of encouragement.
So that I can give words of encouragement.
And words of life.
And words of life.
To my family.
To my family.
As you appointed me.
As you appointed me.
To go out there.
To go out there.
To pray for those that are hurting.
To anoint the sick.
To lay hands on those that are in deep despair.
Because of their brokenness.
But by the Spirit within me,
they will come to life
in due season and see your glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you that you've been born in me.
Because it's the best gift.
Because it's the best gift
that I've ever received.
Amen.